Let's take our Bibles together to the book of 2 Corinthians. We've been going through 2 Corinthians verse by verse, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we've arrived, and you may think this is a very strange text to preach on Sunday morning and even in such a time as this, but as I meditated on these things, I really believe it's no coincidence that we're here, and it's very apropos that we've arrived at this portion of Scripture. Sort of a difficult portion of Scripture, verse 1 to 6, hard in the sense of not to understand, but the subject matter that is being discussed. He's talking about heaviness. Heaviness. And the heaviness that's come about because of the events of 1 Corinthians. You know, life is filled with heaviness. And that's not just true about the pestilence which we live in right now, but it's always been true about life in one shape or form or another. And sometimes the heaviness that we experience is our own fault. Sometimes it's just heaviness that's just a part of life. But there's a purpose to that heaviness. And I see that very plain in the text this morning, and I believe that the Lord would help us if we'll enter into it with our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, would you look at it? I'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many." He says in verse 1, if you would go back up there and look with me, he says a very interesting thing. He says, "But I determined this with myself." Boy, I could just preach that little phrase there. But I think it's amazing. "But I determined this with myself." You know, you best determine some things with yourself before you take on the path of your life. You need to come to a determination. Look how it's not just a determination. "But I determined this with myself." He's having a conversation with himself, you see. And I tell you what, you hear a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices in the world. There are friends. There are voices that speak through different media and outlets. And there are people that you listen to. But you know what? A good person that you could listen to, if you were right with God, you could listen to yourself. You know, when somebody is filled with heaviness, I mean, you see in this text, Paul the Apostle, he's got much affliction, verse 4. He's got, look at that little phrase in verse 4, anguish of heart. You ever had that? What do you do when you have anguish with heart? Well, you better determine some things with yourself. You better talk to yourself. You know, a lot of times when you're full of heaviness, you have to find someone to talk to. That's good. That's fine. You know somebody that you can talk to that's always there? You say, "Well, the Lord." That's true. But a lot of times he doesn't talk out loud, does he? He talks in your heart. You know somebody that's always there that can talk out loud to you at any time when everybody else is not there? You. You say, "Preacher, if I talk to myself, people think I was crazy." You may go crazy if you don't talk to yourself. Hold your finger there. I'll just show you what I mean. Just take you through the Bible. Let you see some of these things. Look at Psalm chapter 4. You know, your voice to yourself needs to be the same as God's voice to you. Now listen, some people talk to themselves and it's a bad idea. It's a wrong thing. You know why? Because they don't agree with God's words and they don't tell themselves what God's wanting to tell them. Is this too deep? In other words, if you'll speak to yourself what God's trying to speak to you, it'll help your own heart. You ever told yourself, hey, you better not do that. Hey, we got to stop this. Who is we? Well, there's three parts to you, right? Is your body ever want to do something that your heart says you ought not do, or your soul, or the Lord didn't want you? You better talk to yourself. Look, we can't do this. We can't. How many times has somebody crossed the counsel of their own heart to do something that was out of God's will, and they suffered the consequences and the heaviness of it because they knew they were saying, hey, we can't do this. We can't go down this path. We don't need to go down this road. Talk out loud to yourself like that. You ought to do that in the night seasons. You know, if you can't sleep at night, talk to yourself. And if that doesn't work, talk to God. You know, I'm just telling you, look at Psalm 4. You say, well, preacher, I pray to God, talk to God, and you need to talk to God. But I tell you what, you need to talk to you too. You need to tell yourself, we are not going to do this. Amen. We are not going to sin against God. We are, look, wouldn't it be great if a sinner would determine with himself that he wouldn't go to hell? I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to have my eternity spent in the lake of fire. I determine in myself that I'm going to find the gospel. I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to get to the place where I know that I'm saved. Wouldn't it be good for somebody to determine in themselves that I'm not going to go to hell? Wouldn't it great if you determined in yourself you're going to live for Jesus? Wouldn't it great if you would talk yourself into the fact? Look, I've tried to talk people a lot of things. But many times their voice is a lot louder than my voice. Why don't you talk yourself into loving Jesus first? You know you ought to. Tell yourself, hey, we got to love the Lord first. We've got to put Jesus first in our life. I'm not going to let sin destroy my life. I'm going to do right. You've got to determine that with yourself. David said in Psalm chapter 4, watch if you think I'm crazy. Psalm 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Selah, think about that. Commune with your own heart. Lay down on bed and say, you know, what are we doing here? Why am I thinking this? I gotta stop looking at things this way. Amen. Paul begins this chapter about heaviness, and he said, I determined with this with myself. In Psalm 77, I'll give it to you again. You talk to yourself? I hope you talk good things to yourself. Hey, Jesus, you need to tell yourself, hey, Jesus is worth it. It's worth it all. Amen. Sing to yourself. It's worth it all to be God's child, to serve Him through the last long mile. It's worth it all to feel His power and know He keeps me every hour. I determined this with myself. I tell you what, if you're not careful, the voices that come from your head, not your mouth to yourself, if you're not careful, they won't agree with God. They'll go in a different direction. You know, people talk about schizophrenia and they say, you know, that's when people have multiple personalities and different voices. I got news for you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you do have multiple personalities. You've got an old man, you've got a new man. They are not the same, and they want to go different directions. And you need to talk to yourself and say, we're going to go the new man's way. We're going to go Jesus' way. We're going to go the Bible way. And I determine this with myself. Amen. I don't have to have everybody else cheerleading me on. Amen. I'm going to determine this with myself. That's what Paul begins this chapter of heaviness. Psalm, he says, Psalm 77, verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. You read this chapter, he's troubled, verse 3. He's not finding a place of comfort, verse 2. And in verse 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Oh, that we would agree with God to the point we would just be our own counselor. Go to the book of Luke. I just want to stay here just for a moment. Go to Luke chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke is very strange. You've got a lot of people in the book of Luke talking to themselves. And I just think that's, I think we need to do this. Because you know what? Here's a problem. Here's a problem. You're going to hear voices on the internet. You're going to hear voices on television. You're going to hear voices in society. You're going to hear the voices of the world. You're going to hear voices of your friends and neighbors and family. You hear voices. But look, the voice that comes out of your mouth to determine with yourself needs to be a voice that agrees with God. In the book of Luke, there's a lot of people that talk to themselves. Some of it was good, some of it was bad. We'll just go through quickly before I get back to this message on heaviness. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, here's Jesus at a Pharisee's house in verse 36. And here comes a woman that's a real bad sinner in verse 37. And verse 38, she weeps and stands behind him and starts washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And then the Bible says in Luke 7:39. Now watch this now. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, look at your Bible. He spake within himself. Do you see that? Didn't say he thought, said he spake. He starts talking to himself. You say, when I talk to myself, people think I'm crazy. Well, you can talk to yourself and nobody else hear it. He says he spake within himself saying, and this is what he said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. This is a message that he spoke to himself. It was a presumptuous judgment. He came to a conclusion that was not true. In other words, he talked to himself. You know, Jesus, he's talking to himself. If this Jesus was really holy and just and right, I know this is a wicked woman. And she's over here and she's crying at his feet and her tears all, and he's wiping them with it. That's just not appropriate. And if he really knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't allow that. Well, his message to himself of presumption was wrong, because Jesus knew everything about that woman. And he also knew everything about that Pharisee. Here, you say, what are you trying to say? You know, sometimes we talk ourselves into things that aren't so. You listening? That's true right now in this situation that we live in. A lot of times we talk in ourselves, we are presumptuous in our decisions, in our opinions, and they could be wrong. You know what? I don't have any idea. I'm not going to talk myself into saying that this pandemic is neither a joke, because I know people that are in ICU because of it. And I'm not going to talk myself into thinking that the whole world is going to come to an end either. You know what I'm going to say? I don't really know what it's about, but I know what God is about. And I know what the Bible is about. And I know what my life is about. And I know what eternity is about. And I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And I'm going to leave those presumptuous thoughts. I'm not going to talk to myself about things that I don't even know what I'm speaking about. If you're not careful, you'll spend your time determining with yourself things that you have no idea you're saying, that you don't have a clue about. That's what this guy did. I see, look, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Y'all forgive me if I preach all afternoon. It's just sort of pent up, you know. I mean, but I'm trying to get out of this introduction. This is what I'm trying to do. Luke chapter 12, the Bible, here's another guy starts talking to himself. Jesus speaks this parable of this rich fool. Remember that? And the Bible says in verse 17, speaking of this rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully, verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, and here it goes, what shall I do? So he's talking to himself. He's making a determination about his life. What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul. You see how he's determining something with himself? I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know what you should not determine with yourself and talk yourself into? That is a message of foolishness. A message of foolishness. What is that? A message of foolishness is that all of these goods and all the things that you can get in life is what your life's all about. That's a foolish idea. That's a foolish thing. You ought not talk yourself into planning out your life in advance, you see. Because you don't know what a day will bring forth. And that's not just for lost people. That's not just a message for people that are not living right. That's a message for people that love the Lord. You know, when we take it for granted that we've got, you know what? How many of us have tried to talk ourselves into thinking that we have a retirement? How many of us have talked ourselves into thinking that we have 20 or 30 more years to live? And we start planning out. You know how foolish that is to determine with yourself what you're going to do in the future? Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible lets us know you don't have a tomorrow. All you have is now. We were reminded of how quickly death comes this week. It's not just to wicked people and sinful people. Death comes to people that love God. Death comes to people that are on their way to heaven. Oh, how foolish it would be for me to determine with myself, to plan out my life in advance when I don't have a tomorrow. I just have a today. And I've got to give my today to Jesus. And I've got to live my life today for the Lord. God doesn't want you to live in the future. He didn't want you to live in the past. He wants you to live now. He wants you to take one step at a time and love God now. We've got to get away from that foolish speaking to ourselves. There's another guy that foolishly said something to himself in this book. Look at Luke 18. What a long introduction we have. Luke chapter 18, here are these two guys that go up to the temple to pray. One's a Pharisee and the other's a publican. And the Bible says in Luke 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. His determination, his prayer was to himself. He wasn't talking to God, he was talking to himself. How many people when they pray, they don't talk to God, they talk to somebody else or themselves? You know that? You know, that's a lot of religious prayers. A lot of religious prayers have nothing to do with a conversation with God. It has to do with a conversation with people that are listening or a conversation that sounds good in my ears. That's why the Lord let know, don't be impressed with people's long praying. A lot of people's prayers are just to themselves anyway. Not to God. Here's a guy praying thus with himself. And you know what he determines as he prays thus with himself? He says, I'm not like other men are. I'm not as bad as this Pharisee or this publican. I'm not as bad as this individual. We got some publicans that would pray thus with themselves and say, I'm not as bad as the Pharisee today. But what I'm trying to say is don't talk to yourself and talk yourself into thinking that you're not as bad as you really are. That's a bad conversation. The best conversation you to have with yourself is to have the same conversation that God would have with you, and that is that you're a sinner and that you come short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners and we're all in need of help and we're all in need of repentance. That's the conversation. Instead of saying, well, I'm glad I'm not as bad as so-and-so. We'll self-flatter ourselves. The wrong determination with yourself. Well, I tell you what, I've got pretty cheekbones. Boy, I look pretty good today. I think I've got it all together. You know, if you're not careful, the conversation you have with you is to tell you how wonderful you are. And I tell you, that's a foolish conversation to have. You ought to know better than that. But a lot of people talk to themselves that way. That's why they want to take selfies. Why don't we take UEs instead of selfies? Because we're all centered on us. Now, you can like that or lump it or whatever, but I mean, it's just true. People talk to themselves about themselves many times in foolish ways. Look at Luke chapter 15. I'm not finished. Seems like the introduction is just taking over here. But I can't get... Look, before we get into this message on heaviness, the Apostle Paul said, I determined this with myself. He said, you've got heaviness in Corinth because of that letter I wrote. I've got heaviness in my heart because of the letter I wrote. But I want to tell you, I've made some determinations with myself. I've come to the conclusion and a course of action. And I believe it's God's. Luke chapter 15, the Bible says here, you know the prodigal son story. He's in the hog pen in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, look at it. He said, how many hired servants of my father's bread enough have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, let me ask you a question. Look at verse 17 again. When he came to himself, he said, who's he talking to? Is he talking to the pigs? There is no audience. It's an audience of one. He's talking to himself. He's in that hog pen and he says, what are we doing here? Why are you living this way? Why are you content to stay in this sin pit, this awful place? And he starts talking to himself saying, hey, my father's house is wonderful. My father's house has plenty of bread. My father's house is clean. It's a wonderful place. Why did you come here? I'm going to get up from this. He's talking to himself. I'm talk yourself into doing right, amen. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to the Father. And when I get there, I'm going to tell him how unworthy I am. Boy, that's a good conversation. In Luke chapter 16, the very next chapter. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible says this certain rich man in verse 1 had a steward that wasted his goods. And he took away the stewardship from him. Verse 3, look at it. Luke 16:3. Then the steward said within himself, you see that? He's talking to himself. What shall I do? Now there's a lot of people that ask themselves that question. What am I going to do? And that rolls over in their head. What am I going to do? But they never come to a conclusion. This conversation was actually profitable because this guy didn't just spend his time determining with himself, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I've lost my job. Keep reading. He said, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. He starts talking to himself. He said, what am I going to do? I just lost my job. And he said, well, I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't dig because you're a wimp. I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't work construction. You can't, amen, dig ditches and put post holes in the ground because you're lazy and you wouldn't stand up to all that. We can't do that. I know what we can't do. We can't do that. I cannot dig. Like we got bad back issues. We can't do that. I cannot dig. Look at it. To beg, I'm ashamed. We can't beg. I'm not going to dig. We can't dig. We can't beg. What are we going to do? And then the conversation, the determination in themselves moves from that. And look at verse 4. Look at it. Look at it. He's talking to himself, church. I am resolved what to do. That's a wonderful thing. I tell you what I'm going to do. I can't do that. I can't. But instead of just standing here talking to myself, then what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, we can't go out to eat. I mean, we can't even go to the dentist. I mean, what are we going to do? We can't go anywhere but Walmart. What are we going to do? Can't go to work. I lost my job. That's this guy. But he didn't just sit there and say, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. I can't dig and I can't beg. I don't know what I'm going to do. And everything's going to crash. And what am I going to do? I might get sick. I might die. What am I going to do? And he stopped there and he said, I tell you what, self, I'm resolved what to do. I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to make a plan and a resolution. And I'm going to resolve myself to go to each of these people that I've dealt with and get as much money from them and get as much back as I can to the steward or to the master of the house. I'm going to do all that I can do. It's a message of resolve. Look at Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. He says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Watch your Bible. But afterward he said within himself. You see that? This judge made a determination in his own heart. He said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. This unjust judge, you know what he determined with himself? I tell you, he said, you know what? We got to do something. Because if I don't do something, this woman's going to pester me to death. This is also a message to himself of resolve. In other words, he's saying, I just can't put this off. You know how many people put off the important things of their lives? They just keep putting it off. They can never be resolved to do what they need to do. New Year's, you know, people make New Year's resolutions. They're resolved. And this guy resolved that he was going to avenge this woman. And the next time, I'm going to take care of this problem so she's not going to keep coming. And he's talking to himself. We can't go on this way. I'm going to get this done. He made a resolution. You know, some people make resolutions about losing weight. You know why they don't keep them? Or they make resolutions about quitting a habit. You know why they don't keep them? Or they make resolutions about living for God. You know why they don't keep them? Because they quit talking to themselves. And when they go to the potato chip bag, they don't say, now you know we can't eat that. Come on now. You know what they're saying? We're going to eat that. You know why they don't keep the resolution? They say, we're going to get a second helping of that. And when they're sitting on the couch, amen, and they don't have anything to do in their house, there's a little voice that says, you know what? There's something in that refrigerator calling my name. I got to go get that. You know, what if it was a different voice? What if the voice says, you know, you're fat. You're not going there. What if it was that voice? You know, that voice don't come out much. No. Right? Now, see, I have to use personal illustrations. But it could be anything. It could be people that have substance abuse addiction. The voice they hear is, man, I got to have that fix again. Instead of the resolved voice that says, I'm tired of doing this over and over and over again. We've got to do something. You're burning your brains out, stupid. Right? Or what about the resolve? Man, I made a resolution to pray and to get closer to God and to know God. Instead of that voice that tells me to go outside and take a walk or play a game or get on my device. Isn't it amazing? People talk with themselves, man, I got to watch this, or I got to do this, or I got to play this. I got to be involved in this activity. Why is that voice never, hey man, go pray? Do you ever tell yourself to go pray? Do you ever determine with yourself, hey, we got to go read our Bible? Now drag your lazy self out of bed and let's go read our Bible and let's go pray. And let's go do what we're supposed to do for the glory of God. Why do we not keep our resolutions? Because we don't talk to ourselves. We don't determine with ourselves that we're going to do what God wants us to do. All through the book of Luke was a determination that somebody made with themselves. I go back to our text and I'll try to complete this and I'll put you on notice. I guess I told a lie this morning. I will not be in Galatians. I think I need to finish this message tonight about heaviness. But in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, but I determined this with myself. You've got to get that. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is Paul agreeing with God, the Holy Ghost, that he is supposed to have this outlook of life. I tell you what, if it was me, I probably would wrote 2 Corinthians and I'd have said it a little harder and a little harsher and said, what in the world is going on down at the Church of Corinth? And evidently Paul had to stop and determine with himself, I am not going to write another heavy letter to them. You see that? God doesn't want me to write another heavy letter to them. Do you see that? God does not want this heaviness to continue. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. God's behind the heaviness. We'll deal with it tonight. God orders the heaviness. It has a reason for being there, but Paul had to determine with himself, I will not stay in the place of heaviness because God does not want the church at Corinth to stay in the place of heaviness. And even the sinful man who had ruined his life and ruined the other people's lives and defamed the name of Jesus Christ, God did not even want him to stay in the place of heaviness. And you've got to determine in yourself, I'm not going to keep living this way. Church, listen. We already had a massive problem. You can call it depression. I'm going to call it heaviness. Y'all know what heaviness is? Something that's laying on your heart so strongly and it's pushing you down so much you feel like you can't bear the load. That's heaviness. We already had a terrible, and I tell you what, you may not like him. Don't really matter to me, but our president is right when he talked about, look, people may die if everything opens up, but people are dying now. And he's telling the truth. Because there's such heaviness in people's lives, and God didn't want people to live there. We live in a day of great heaviness, great strain, great burden. And I'm telling you, well, you've got to determine with yourself that you're going to take that heaviness to God, that you're going to go to God, that you're not going to live in that place of heaviness, but you're going to live where God wants you to live and have the life God wants you to have. And you need to tell yourself, we're not going to stay here. We're not going to write 1 Corinthians again. I'm not going to repeat the same mistakes in my life that bring me to the place of heaviness. I'm going to go to the place of joy. I'm going to go to the place of Jesus. I don't know what's heavy in your life. I've been on the phone a lot this week. Tried to bear people's burdens this week. A lot of heaviness out there. But Jesus has the answer. And 1 Corinthians has a 2 Corinthians. Oh, the heaviness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heaviness. The Bible says, listen to me, I'm finishing up. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen. And he began to be very heavy. The weight of the world came down upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. The weight of your sin and my sin came down to bear on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how heavy my own sins are? I can't imagine taking yours too. Can you imagine taking your problems and taking everybody's problems in this church house? Jesus Christ, though he not only bore the heaviness of our sin and the burden of our sin, he all of us combined together put all of our problems and all of our transgressions and all of our sins and all the things that plague our souls. And in a moment of time, the Son of God, who had become the Son of Man, was in that Garden of Gethsemane praying. And there's a battle there in his own mind. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, Lord, if it's possible, I want it to pass, but thy will be done, Father. thy will be done. I don't want this heaviness. I don't want this sin. I don't want all the burden of this shame. Oh, you think you've got the burdens of sin and shame? Take all of humanity and all the expanse of time, and in one moment of time, gather up all of that sin and wickedness and debauchery and guilt and shame and stick it on one man in a garden. I'm telling you, that's heavier than the nail. That's heavier than that piece of wood that was on his back. And as he bore that heaviness, he struggled with it. I'm a man of sorrows now, and I'm acquainted with grief. He talks about grief in this chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm taking all this heaviness. Psalm 69, quoting Jesus' words, I am very heavy, is what it says, bearing the load. But you know the great thing? God didn't have him stay there. That was 1 Corinthians. Aren't you glad he had a 2 Corinthians for Jesus? And the second time Jesus comes, the second time he writes the letter, it's not about the heaviness of the cross and the heaviness of our sin. It's about victory. It's about freedom. And that heaviness that he bore, God the Father wasn't going to make him stay there. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels that have gathered around, they're just worshiping him and praising him and blessing his name. And those that have gone before us, the children of God, they sleep in Jesus and they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't really know how all that happens. Every saint of God, though, when they die, they're present with the Lord. You think there's heaviness with that? No, Jesus has all those people that he loved and died for. They're with him up there. But there was a 1 Corinthians. There was a purpose for the heaviness, but God didn't have them stay there. I don't know what chapter you're in, but God wants to take your heaviness. There's a reason for it. But God wants to take that and turn it into something else. What's the reason for all this heaviness? And how is God going to turn that around? He can, he will, but you've got to determine with yourself and agree with God.